Blog Talk Radio.
Wait a minute. Sorry, something isn't right here. I'm sorry, a little technical difficulties.
The following program includes conversations from highly trained professional pundits. It is not recommended that their actions be imitated in any form whatsoever in the home.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
The North American Wrestling Connection is brought to you in part by
WWE Hall of Famer Mae Young.
Oh no,
Mae, do you have anything to say to them?
What do you mean, do I have anything to say? I want you to give me a match with these slumps and let them.
And welcome to NAWC Old School.
Woohoo!
Yay.
Yatta.
Yes, we have gone back into that beautiful time and age of 2009. I am your old school host, Robert Q. Silent, and everybody's got on their old school regalia. For instance, Nikki Hayman has on her old school ECW garb.
That is correct. It says ECF and W and nothing on the back, as it's supposed to be.
And then we have that boy Josh Henniger, who's in his sharp glasses and Toledo University sweatshirt.
Yeah, you've actually got it down pat, even though you haven't seen me. Wow, are you psychic?
And then we have Jason Block wearing a sharp, beautifully made suit, which he uses anytime he does a ring announcing gig.
Yes, my suit is pressed, my shoes are shined, and my vocal cords have been exercised.
And we have Jim Williams, who doesn't go anywhere without his beautiful microphone.
Yeah, but for some reason, I think this old school went a little too far. You told me to wear a toga and gold sandals. I don't think you play well in Leesburg, New Jersey. I'm just saying.
Well, you are our version of the Fink. I thought it'd be appropriate.
Well, actually, I defer that to Jason. He's the Fink. I'm just here.
Yes, balding and old. Yeah, there you go.
I didn't mean it that way, but if you want to go that way, I guess that is true, isn't it?
Yeah, that is true. Well, I also say, and that is a very, very big compliment, and thank you very much. How's that?
Yes, all you're right. Quite well.
And, of course, I'm always in my old school garb when I do a radio show. I'm just in regular street clothes holding a cell phone. Nothing special at all.
I had worse pictures in my head, thank goodness.
Yeah, I was thinking more video game gear, but hey.
Well, he has the 8-bit
version, doesn't he? You know, I was a little aside before we start our first segment. I was in Chicago, and I was going to buy a Contra t-shirt.
Okay.
I have a bulldog of a best female friend named Jamie, who I sometimes refer here on the show. And sometimes I refer to on the BS Big Show.
It's a lady.
And, yes, it's a lady. She is the one who stopped me from buying a sweet-ass Contra shirt. So blame her.
And why did she stop you? Why?
Christmas. Yeah, she's the one who had my wallet.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, women are like that.
So it's time for our first segment. Are you guys ready?
Let's do this.
I hope.
Alrighty. I think I need to hear one. We need to hear one sort of thing. Oh, Bill, what do you have for us?
It's the first word.
Yes, we're starting up around the horn.
This is going to be murder.
Our favorite old school game. And we've upped it here for old school. We actually got something we haven't used. Music. That's right. Our first... There, I have to pull on. We'll start this over because I have it on too low. There we go. 13 is perfect.
That's fine.
The first word is old school. And by the way, there's a rule here. If anybody says the V word, they get muted.
Viscera?
Oh,
no. Michael Cole's favorite word, and don't say it, please.
No. Nope. Yes, yes.
All right.
And girl.
Anyways, while old school was airing on Monday night, and boy, was it like to see everything old school. The semi-attitude era set, the 80s era tags and everything, and not to mention the old Raw theme song tweaked with the current wrestlers in the introduction. Was it a big hit for you? Let's start with Josh.
Huh? Once again, I'm absolutely out of it because I'm not sure what the question is.
Did you enjoy the show?
Oh. For the first time in a few years, I absolutely, positively enjoyed Raw. I actually wasn't able to watch it live. Sadly, I had to do it on DVR, but from what I've seen, it was absolutely the best 3 hours of Raw I've seen in years. Beautiful, pretty much everything. Mae Young calling Lake Cool sluts and bitches. J.R. Brow beating Michael Cole. There's too much awesome here. Too much awesome concentrated. Just for, yeah. No words can say exactly how awesome it was.
Jim?
Well, I didn't see it live either because of the Eagles game. How about those birds? But I got to see the replay on Mundos. And by the way, to their credit, sluts and bitches not edited. So good for you, WWE. But I got to say, I was definitely a big believer. I was a little skeptical thinking, you know what, something's going to go screwy. Next is going to try to beat up everybody. But from the get-go, Mean Gene Okerlund in the old school setting, yeah, having the interviews way behind the crowd at the back of the set, that was awesome. Seeing the legends, and yes, I marked out when I saw Slick. Who expected Slick to show up? Slick is just, wow. And of course, you know, Ron Simmons getting his just desserts with Damn and everything. And believe me, I think we'll be seeing Ron Simmons in about 5 or 6 months. It was executed well, but not unlike ECW One Night Stand. I don't know if I want to see another one. You can't mess with Camelot. This past Monday night, was Camelot.
Nikki.
This is how you produce a show where you can have older wrestlers show up, still entertain us, without having to take over the show. I'm looking at you, TNA. After Joey Fallon. Joe Sal's comment last week about how, you know, watch old school every week if you tuned in to Spike on Thursday nights. WWE struck the perfect balance. They knew exactly what their guys were capable of doing and in some not being able to do. They weren't going to make Iron Sheik or the Spike Hulk Hawk wrestle. They had Mae Young do what little she could do. They still advanced the storylines that were relevant as this was still the go-home show to Survivor Series. All these wonderful old classic touches brought into a Raw that did everything it needed to do in that blissful 3 hours. As somebody who didn't watch at that time, I was impressed. I was floored. I geeked for all the classic TV effects. and I still enjoyed myself.
Jason.
I will say, I will agree with everything else said, but I will emphasize one thing. Piper's Pit. If you did not get chills watching that Piper's Pit, you are not a wrestling fan. Because what Roddy Piper did was, A, balance his era of stars, naming about five or six who never won the title, and made the Wade Barrett Nexus match unbelievably important. The Wade Barrett Orton match. It made it a selling point. It sold the pay-per-view more than anything else, and he got Wade Barrett to make John Cena wear the fucking Nexus shirt. Excuse my language, but it's the truth. The fact is that was brilliant. All the touches led up to that, but the Piper's Pit was the icing on the cake.
Yeah. Speaking of which, ratings came out for it. It was a 3.2, which for three-hour shows go, which is pretty good, especially since, as we know, during that time, Jim alluded to this earlier, there was a big football game between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Washington Redskins, pretty much nullifying your fourth biggest market. And I don't know how big the D.C. market is. I kind of think
it's
like the...
Something like that.
If those areas watching the football game while Raw was currently airing, I'd like to think a 3-2 is pretty darn good. Would you say so, Jim?
I wouldn't go that far, considering the ratings had been about 3-3-1. I think they were expecting a 3-5 out of it or better. I mean, yes, it's good by their standards for a three-hour show, but I think they wanted more. They wanted a 3-5. They wanted the people who haven't watched wrestling in 7, 8, 9, 10 years, if not longer, to come back and join. Some of them did, but I don't think as many as they really wanted. Did they strike a chord? Yes. The numbers may not necessarily reflect it, though.
Jim. Josh.
Rob, I've got bad news for you. It didn't get a 3.2. It only got a 3.05. Hours of 274, 3.2, and 3.22.
Oh.
It got 3.2 in the 2 hours that it should have. Overall,
3.21, yes. Yes. To be honest, they were probably looking for better, as Jim said. They didn't get it. But to be honest, they should keep doing this anyway, straight up. It's, as I said before, it's was too awesome, and as long as they can keep this type of production up, this type of wrestling up, I'd watch it every week, and who knows, it may actually bring back the people like they were hoping.
Nikki?
I think that they really wanted a bigger number, and the problem is with two large wrestling markets like Philadelphia and Baltimore, D.C. area, They lost a lot of viewers if the Philadelphia Washington game was any good. I didn't see any of the football game myself. But I think once the word gets around on how good this show was, word of mouth can do a lot for a show. I think that we will actually see the ratings bump next week, not only because of the fight, but because of what happened on Monday.
Jason, last word.
I will say, yeah, they were expecting a better number, but you know what? You got to build off of something like this. People will want to see what happened on Raw, what happened on Survivor Series, and with a 59-24 beatdown, I believe it was, on the Michael Vick side of the Eagles,
fun.
Something like that. It, you know, you'll see. We'll see what happens. I mean, 3-1's good. But you know what? It's just 1 week. But it was a very, very good week.
Yes, and by the way, for the previous week, if you had Michael Vick on your fantasy team, you're a winner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Our next topic. Yes, well, while Old School was fantastic, we had some unfortunate matters today. Raw, through SmackDown, and WWE in general, cleaned house. Shad Gaspar today, Big Dick Johnson, Luke Gallows, Vance Archer, Jillian Hall, and Tiffany, all gone. And thankfully, Big Dick Johnson is gone too. Yay! Creative gets cleaned up. Who are you going to miss the most, Jason?
You know what? From a comedy perspective, Jillian, but from a wrestling perspective, Luke Gallows, by far. He took a character named from... He went from a drooling, you know, retarded guy, excuse my language, for Festus, and into a badass named Luke Gallows, in the member of the Straight Edge Society, which, by the way, again, which was broken up way too soon. Sorry, Serena. Luke Gallows, by far.
Jim.
I concur wholeheartedly. It's not a case study of Luke Gallows did anything really bad. It's more a case study of they didn't have anything for him. And seemingly, more often than not, when you have widespread cuts like this, that's going to be the case. Same thing with Tiffany. She really wasn't doing anything. She didn't have that authority-type figure that she had in ECW, so she's gone. Jillian Hall, the singing aspect, okay, thank goodness I still have something hearing, so she left. But it's Gallows, because the man could flat-out go in the ring. But again, it was a case study of, you know, just no role for him in the company. I wish him well.
Nikki.
You forgot somebody on your list. Referee Goose Mahoney that was also released. Now, that's not the man I'm going to miss the most, so even though I've known him since his OVW days from 2005. Gallows had probably the biggest impact out of all of the people who were released because Vance Archer never really got the big pops with his brief run on SmackDown. Tiffany has not been used for anything since ECW closed down. Jillian Hall has not developed anything character-wise. Kaylin Croft, the Dude Busters weren't getting anywhere. And when they broke up Crime Time, I was really worried for Shad because Shad is a great presence, but he's not a great wrestler. Gallows had everything. He's a great talker. He's a great wrestler. He is 100% into his character all the way through the character development, as Jason mentioned, from slobbering Festus to sharpest attack, Luke Gallows. Luke, I miss you, big man. Ice cream's on me if you're in town. If you get that, you read the magazine. Next.
God. Man, you guys have pretty much beaten everything in. But I'm actually going to go just a little bit different way with Shad Gaspard. He actually had a chance. Compared to Luke Gallows and everyone else, he had a chance to break out and become something big. He had the look. He had the personality. It's just that he could not find a character. Just like JR said, he is freakishly athletic. He is pretty good at what he does. The only big problem, he didn't have the character. And sadly, most of that can be pinned on WWE Uncreative.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, this is why I'm happy that Big Dick Johnson was eliminated. Pretty much a big old sign flashing over Korea's head. Hey, you're expendable too. We can get rid of you just like that.
Okay, now, with all these cuts happening, what are they going to use? Are they going to use it to fill the gap on the bottom line? Or are they pretty much going to sign everybody that was on NXT Season 3 to the delight of nobody? Quickly, two words or less, Josh.
Signing Genexus.
Genexus?
Two words, I'm sorry, I can't explain it.
You should stay in the bounds. Jason.
Not done.
Nikki.
More cuts.
And Jim, last word.
Only begun.
Oh, wait, sorry, wrong sound. How about that for an opening stanza?
Goal.
We got some great scores out there. We got Jason with 16, Jim 15, Nikki 16, Josh, you still have a chance. Because as we enter the next round, buy or sell is next.
Yeah.
And coming up, Alex Riley, WWE pay-per-views, and an announcer from New York. Have at it.
Buy or sell.
Buy or sell time. Remember, you buy or you sell.
Buy or sell. Yeah.
Okay, let's buy or sell.
All right. First up, Alex Riley. He had such a nice push going, being the apprentice to The Miz. Now, in a totally unawesome move, he gets busted with a DUI in Florida. Fined $500 on bail and promptly released afterwards after bail was paid. Remember, DUI, buy or sell his chances at WWE stardom being flushed down the toilet. Josh.
I will still buy it, mainly because there have been several instances of WWE guys getting drunk behind the wheel and still winding up becoming big stars. Ted DiBiase Jr., Santino Marella. And, ho, how about that guy who's in the main event at Survivor Series, Wade Barrett?
Wow, Jason.
I'm still buying Alex Riley's chances. This is his first defense, we hope. I think he's got the look. They will give him a little bit of a D push for a little while, but maybe first quarter 2011, second half, he might be back.
Thank you.
I'm giving it a buy for one reason. In Florida, if you refuse to take the breathalyzer test, they take that as an admission of guilt. He might not have been drunk in the first place.
Oh, good. Home. Inside information.
All right, wrong sound.
Inside information from the Floridian. Good stuff.
Yeah, the points are flowing like water. Jim.
I'm going to buy that he still has a chance at stardom in the more imminent future. I buy the fact that Michael Cole will try not to use the A-bomb for A-Ride line because A-Ride may have gotten A-bombed behind the wheel.
And the points are flowing like water for you, too, just for that line. Look at these scores. We got Josh 16, Jason 19, Nikki 23, Jim now at 22. Josh, Jason, gotta pick up a little bit.
All right.
Next topic. How's that for old school around the horn? Next topic. The WWE 2011 pay-per-view schedule has been released. Unfortunately, for those who like pay-per-views being once a month, there's no change. As Hell in a Cell and Bragging Rights share a pay-per-view month in October, leaving you have three pay-per-views. You have Night of Champions, Hell in a Cell, and Bragging Rights 5 weeks apart. Buy or sell that little piece of the schedule, Jim. Jason.
Oh, I, again, I'm selling this. This is the biggest problem with both UFC. With UFC, TNA, and WWE. Again, I've given the figures. If you buy every pay-per-view from everything every year, we're talking $1,500 to $2,000 a year. There is a breaking point, especially with $44.95 and even $54.95 in HD now, selling this big time.
Nikki.
I'm going to sell because I still have a problem with the fact that Bragging Rights and Survivor Series having similar concepts being bumped up against each other like this. It was very difficult for them to go get a Survivor Series match, and they kind of just cobbled it together and said, hey, look, we still did our signature match for Survivor Series this year. I hate to see that happen for a Big Four pay-per-view. They got to fix this.
Yeah.
And to Nikki's point, and this is why I'm selling too, where's the build-up? You cannot build up a pay-per-view
with enough credibility and quality in 2 weeks or 3 weeks. You can't. You need 4, 5, 6 weeks between pay-per-views to amply do a pay-per-view justice. Otherwise, you're losing big-time revenue, and as we've seen year to year, numbers are down in sales and buys.
And Josh. And I am selling this as well. Man, the big thing they need to do is shrink the number of pay-per-views down to 6 a year. Get an 8 to 9 week build-up. Get a satisfying conclusion, hopefully. And if not, do it again.
I don't know, but Josh, looking at the scores, you really need to, as the Briscoes say, man up for this next one. Next topic. Let's talk about a show that nobody talks about. Superstars. You have a guy there named Scott Stanford who's been there for about, 5 to 6 weeks, and he's getting better every week. Unlike some announcers who are getting worse every week, Michael Cole.
Mm-hmm.
RSL Scott Stanford as a good voice for superstars, Nikki.
I'm buying, but I'm buying blind. I have not seen Scott Stanford's work on Superstars, but I have been hearing some very positive things. I'm also very impressed at the fact that him and CM Punk got to do an entire Superstars this past Thursday, and I haven't heard a bad thing about that yet. So, bully, bring him on.
Jim.
I buy in a huge way. I got to see some of his stuff on YouTube because I do believe they put the Superstars episodes on YouTube on the WWE Fan Nation account. He's very credible. He comes from a sports journalism background, unlike Cole, who came from a news journalism background. And if that's not enough, let it be said, I'm of the belief they're trying to groom Stanford to perhaps replace Grisham down the road. So I think you might be seeing Stanford more mainstream in the next 6 to 10 months.
Josh, need the points.
Yeah, you're telling me. I am buying Scott Stanford as well. He's actually pretty darn good. Leagues better than some announcers who started the same way. Mike Adam Lee, I'm looking directly at you.
Adam's not with the company anymore.
Yeah. The good news is Scott Stanford's most likely going to be staying on for quite some time. Hopefully, who knows, he may even replace good old what's-his-face Jack Corpella as the WWE pay-per-view guy for full time's sake.
Jason.
I've actually had the pleasure of both watching Mr. Stanford on Channel 9 here in New York do his sports stuff, and he's very credible. He's also done, I believe he does the pay-per-view preview programs, or has done them recently. And I believe I've also worked with his brother, Dave, on a couple of radio shows. So Scott is really good because he has the balance between voice and getting the characters over. And that's what you need in an announcer, especially here.
Sure words, never spoken. It seems to be a lost art of being able to put over both the character in a match and the move in the match at the same time, especially when it comes to storyline. First cut, it's always the deepest, Josh. Any last words?
Yeah, you can suck my vintage dick.
Whoa!
Oh!
My goodness!
Wow!
I was going to ask for that.
Yes. Good times, good
Josh.
Times.
Josh is gone. We have 3 people left. So you guys ready?
Yeah.
We might be going for a lightning round, but remember, this is old school around the horn.
And now, it's out of bounds.
That's right, it's all out of bounds, where it's all inbounds. Like how I did that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've learned from the best.
Good old Tony Reale. First topic. Well, Sean Waltman's in the news again. This time he's playing the bitch and moan card, as it seems.
bitching that WWE needs to go back to being TV-14, whining and crying about he hasn't been on TV as of late, both in WWE and TNA. However, maybe his health problems have something to do with that. And he also laid down this chestnut, quote, somewhat, "Need to let the boys go back to doing the steroids. I mean, people like to look at hard, jacked up bodies, and the boys all want to do it." What the hell is Sean Waltman smoking, Jason?
The same stuff China was, apparently. This is incredible for him to even go there, especially with the incredible correlation between the use of steroids and death. Can we say Eddie Guerrero? Can we say Chris Benoit and others, perhaps? Sean, thank God they didn't use you on Monday Night Raw. You would have classed down the joint.
And Josh, Jim.
I echo the sentiments of my honorable friend, Mr. Block, and I just can't help but say to myself, this is a guy who once got over as the 1-2-3 kid beating Razor Ramon, giving him the foot in the door he needed that propelled him to a sex video with China. Oh boy, that's just wonderful. No, I mean, for goodness sakes, you can't say that. They're doing everything they can with the wellness policy and what have you. I agree with him. Yeah, the TV-14 would be a nice step in the right direction, but the steroids, you can't go there. People have died. People have died in the ring from this stuff. It's just thoughtless, and obviously he was on under the influence of something, medications, booze, China's, I don't know.
Yeah. I'm not sure what Mr. Waltman is on, but maybe he's just trying. I think he's just doing this to say, hey, remember me? I used to be something. Yeah, you were something before you broke your neck, son. Yes, he was. It was apparently, you know, something to really go out and see in the mid-90s, that he was a really talented wrestler, and oh, how the mighty have fallen.
Long sound again, sorry.
No, you're fine. Just to throw out there, WWE is not even going to look at the whole steroid policy, obviously. And the callback to TV-14, I hate to say it, but TVPG has made the writers think and has made the writers write. We've had some kick-ass television this year, and part of it is because it's PG.
I'll also say this much when it comes to what Nikki's point was quickly. The whole concept of him trying to make a name for himself, by saying what he said, Sean has only put himself into main events at high school gyms around the country, with no knock on those who perform in high school gyms, mind you.
I don't know. No, he's actually cleaning the high school gyms. I'm sorry. It's terrible. I mean, it's really terrible. We have come into an age where wrestling has become, in a sense, respectable again, and the Vince McMahon wellness policy is a part of it, plain and simple.
Nikki, quickly, last word.
Just, you know, if you guys sit down and think about it, the Nexus angle alone has made this year awesome, and this whiny little kid isn't going to spoil it for us. X-Pac, mm-hmm. Your heat is still valid. You still suck. Go away.
Touche.
Next topic. Hey, let's talk some MMA, only not really. Roy Nelson has stated that he has sent out feelers to WWE. He wants to appear on WWE program and wrestle for WWE. Even though he kind of has a contract for Roy Jones Jr.'s outfit. And he kind of won a little contract on The Ultimate Fighter for UFC. However, his Roy Jones Jr. contract kind of prevents him from doing that. Guess he kind of signed it as a stopgap. Anyways, and on that note, Quentin Rampage Jackson has said that he wants to appear on WWE program again as a wrestler once his MMA career is over. Jason, you're kind of a resident MMA watcher.
Could you actually see Big Country and Rampage in a WWE ring sometime in the future?
Big Country, no. Rampage Jackson, hell yes, I can. He's got the personality, he's got the smack talk, and if he can learn the moves, and he was on, if you remember, in promoting the A-Team, and he was having a blast doing it. Watch for Rampage Jackson in a WWE ring in 2011, maybe 12.
Nikki.
Big Country is in a big enough mess without having to try to throw a third contract on the fire. I don't think the Fed's going to touch him right now. Rampage Jackson would be an awesome fit. The only problem that they're going to have is that they need to twist his arm a little harder when it comes to the travel schedule. If Rampage really wants to make an impact in the Fed, he's got to realize he's going to have to leave his family at home and be on the road for 200-plus days a year. He's going to have to get used to that real quick if he really wants to live this dream.
And Jim.
This is kind of a bell curve when it comes to MMA-type fighters going to wrestling. We've seen guys like Ken Shamrock 15 years ago going from the mixed martial arts style to wrestling. Then we've seen wrestlers, Brock Lesnar comes to mind, where it's wrestling to MMA, and now we could see it go back the other way again. Rampage would be great. Big Country can go screw himself as far as I'm concerned, and maybe go up in a Big Country and screw a Big Country. I don't know. What it comes down to is this. The fear I have, even if it's Rampage Jackson or whoever it is, going from MMA to WWE could be a little challenging in that you can't really F somebody's shit up. Unlike MMA, where you could beat the living daylights out of somebody. That's what it comes down to. I feel sorry for the people in the early matches that Mr. Jackson is in, if he does go in, because they're going to get rough the frick up.
Yes, and speaking of getting rough the frick up, Nikki, you kind of got rough the frick up at the end. Any last words?
Oh, come on, man. You can't tell me that I wasn't holding my own in this? I'm the one with the wrestling experience.
Yeah, but you're going up against two big guys around here. You're kind of like the Terry Allen to their Abdullah the Butcher.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, wait. Terry Allen was actually Magnum TA. Damn it.
Oh. It's all right.
I forgot. And I have a tape of an old Florida Championship Wrestling thing where Magnum TA wrestled as Terry Allen. My mistake. I'll just flip the cards.
We move on.
Yeah. So we have a showdown between Jason Block and Jim Williams. Two men with two great voices. One guy actually gets to use his voice for 30 seconds of face. You ready for a showdown, guys?
Yes, I am. This is going to be fun, Jim. Let's do this.
Good luck, Jay.
First up, CM Punk is not feeling too well, but he's actually holding his own on Superstars commentary with Scott Stanford. Do you think Punk has a chance of being a WWE commentator after it's all said and done in the ring? 30 seconds, 15 seconds each, Jim, go.
Absolutely. He's funny, he's witty, he knows wrestling, he knows how to put people over as we saw in NXT. The question I have is, will he last like Mick Foley with the headset interference, quote-unquote, from the powers that be? Hopefully, he does do well.
I would like to see him do well, but the more important thing is I want to see him back in the ring. Although I'm not looking forward to what his career is doing now, doing 5 years from now. I just want his hip to be better. But, you know, an occasional guest appearance now and then here is a nice change of pace, especially for Michael Cole.
Yes, it is a much bigger change of pace for Michael Cole. But actually, Jason, it's Jerry the King Lawler who does Superstars normally alongside Scott Stanford.
All right, so I lose. That's okay.
Yeah, Jim gets the point. Next topic. Vince McMahon re-ups with WWE. No, I am not joking about this one. Vince McMahon signed a contract, I guess says he kind of has to, where he'll continue doing his usual duties like writing director, on-air talent, CEO, CFO, that kind of thing. $1.4 million a year for the next 3 years. So you're worth the money, Jason?
You want to know something? We may bitch and moan about it for years, but heck yeah, he is. The fact of the matter is that he still is the head of the biggest promotion in the world. It is a multi-billion dollar business, and he's the better behind it. $4 million is cheap for him.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly, but when I read this article on WrestleChat earlier today, I thought this came out of The Onion. I mean, what the heck? The man owns the freaking company, more or less. It is his baby, and he's getting this kind of contract? Are you kidding me?
Whoa, calm down, Jim. So you both said the same thing. I think I liked it the first time when Jason said it. All right, we're tied 1-1, and guess what we have to use to break the tie?
College.
Oh, boy.
Now, what?
TNA, or as Craig Ferguson calls it...
What the hell is that? It's completely stupid and pointless.
I look forward to your letters.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you, Craigie Ferg. TNA's ratings, 1.4 million viewers, which allowed to a 1.1. This is probably a direct result from Hulk Hogan saying that the belts are fake and they're meaningless and all that good junk that he said on Impact. By the way, I did not watch Impact. That's what I got from reading spoilers and the crap. What do you got? What do you say about that, Jim?
I will actually watch some of Impact. I was a glutton for punishment. And what it comes down to is this. Coming in, my IQ was X. Coming out of it, my IQ was X minus 100. It's just mind-blowingly bad writing. They deserve better. The talent deserves better. No wonder they're going under soon.
The fact that TNA had so much potential at the beginning of this year, and now, I mean, last night's Impact was the first Impact in weeks that I actually had a good time watching it. It is just so sad to see a once great promotion where it is today, plain and simple.
TNA was great. Oh, yeah, that's right. They were great back in 2004, 2005, 2006, 2006, before Vince Russo started writing for him again. Hey, Nikki, are you awake? Who should win this, Jim or Jason?
Whoa, wait a minute. Well, you're putting this on me.
Wow.
You're the one who kicked me off of here. I could leave this as a hung jury. I should take the points.
No, that's not right. Give Robert the win.
Actually, you know what? Jason sold me 120 gigabyte hard drive for my Xbox for the Xbox 360. He gets the point. He gets the win.
Fair enough. Works for me.
Jason, 36 yours, and your time starts now.
Again, continuing my thoughts. It is just so very sad to see TNA being the Fed that it is when the emphasis was not on wrestling. It's on characters. It's on people we don't want to see. It's on the Joker belt. It's on Jeff Hardy as a heel. And they're doing the scattershot thing. And the scary part is that history is about to repeat itself. And the fact is, we've already seen how this story ends. And I don't want to see it end this way because I want competition. I want to see quality wrestling. And when you have a federation go from a match of the year candidate like the Beer Money McGuns feud to this is an absolute travesty as a wrestler.
That was a long 30 seconds.
But I liked it. It was well said.
Yeah, it was a great 30 seconds.
It's the truth. I mean, TNA had so much going for it right now this year. And honestly, I can say this to you again. The match of the year to me, believe it or not, and I will say this right now, was not Undertaker Michaels 2. It was the finale match between Beer Money and Machine Guns, best of five, which was done, I believe, this summer, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
No Surrender.
Yeah. No. This was on Impact, wasn't it? No, this was the one on Impact. The final one. It was a 2 out of 3 fall match. It was unbelievable.
Oh, yeah, at the whole laughing show.
And now what have they come to? Jeff Jarrett demonstrating MMA moves.
Oh. We'll talk more about that, but first, we have to pay some bills, and here's how we do it.
Yes, just tell the one with the orange face. I like her better.
Benoodles. Chris likes you, Benoodles.
Yeah, you're a good little girl. Yes, jump fight.
Good girl.
Jump fight.
Jump
fight. If you don't cut that up for what's that, we'll cut your ass, all right?
You got a little too close to her mouth there, didn't you, Mike? You can be affectionate. You can be as affectionate as you want to a cat, and they'll appreciate it, but you touch that one wrong spot, you're screwed.
The BS Big Show, every Sunday and Wednesday nights, here on blogtalkradio.com/TheBSBigShow.
No animals were harmed in the making of that promo.
Oh, I have a little legit breaking news, if you could play a little sound effect for me, please.
Oh,
thank you. Okay. This was just posted on Shawn Michaels' Twitter page. Quote, "The fam and I got hit by a drunk driver tonight at 50 miles an hour.
Oof.
All are okay. I did, however, jerk him out of his seat quite abruptly and say bad words, smiley face. Okay? Thanks, all. We're fine. Car is fine. I drive a tank. Kids were fired up. Wanted to beat him up." Poor guy. Poor guy hit the craziest family he could. So, yeah, Shawn Michaels got hit by a drunk driver. Whoa!
Oh, man.
Could have been a lot worse, ladies and gentlemen. Seriously.
Alex Riley, we're looking in your direction. Oh, I'm sorry. No.
Uh-huh. Damn it, Alex. Stop that.
Ouch. About what, Nikki?
No, I was going to say, the drunk driver was Alex Riley, right?
No.
Oh. Oh, sorry. We only wish it were.
Another A-bomb. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, okay.
Fine. No, I'm glad that Sean was okay, and damn it, Jason scooped me.
Yeah. By the way, at least we actually know where the tank went from SummerSlam 2009.
Yes.
But how the hell can they fit Whisper and the two kids in that thing? It's a little small.
Yeah.
Oh, you'll be surprised how you can hollow out a tank and make it still mobile.
The funny thing is that that's probably legal in the state of Texas. Everything is legal in Texas.
Yeah, it's the only way you're able to get around. I mean, from all those fresh Dallas Cowboys fans that you see littering the street.
Oh, jeez. Which you can hear more on the BS Big Show this Wednesday and Sunday at, right?
About 10 o'clock Eastern, yeah.
There you go.
Oh, and by the way, to the people who wanted CC Sabathia and that other big name AL pitcher to win the Cy Young.
Yes. Sabermetrics wins.
There you go. Next, let's get back to wrestling, please.
You've touched a sore spot.
Yes.
Sorry.
My apologies. Yes, let's do get back to ye olde wrestling. So we have NXT. We have 3 people left. And correct me if I'm wrong, because I didn't watch. However, I did see the recap of what happened. We have Kaitlyn, we have AJ, we have Naomi, and the foreign minister of blonde affairs is now eliminated.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you, Joey.
And that's why I bring that up. Joey Styles actually spoiled this 3 hours before on the official his official WWE Twitter page.
God bless him.
I thought
him.
It was more like 3 minutes.
No, it was 3 hours.
Wow. Wow.
How bad is it that not even the guy who's actually in charge of the website says, she's gone, who cares, don't watch.
Yeah, I can't Oh, the hell with this. This show was taped over 3 hours ago. Someone was eliminated. Who cares? I can't watch this episode anymore. And then the tweet right after, yes, I spoiled the end of this awful episode. Tweet your complaints to me at Joey Styles. And he just recently did an addendum. He's going to be apologizing on Tuesday.
You know what? Two words. Publicity stunt.
Ooh.
Okay.
Well, duh.
Okay, let me tell you something. No one's watching NXT because this season has been fucking awful, okay?
I blame Michael Cole.
What?
I blame Michael Cole.
Oh, really? Why?
Because I'm going to go on my... I need a soapbox. Give me a minute here.
Okay.
Brought to you by Doug.
Thank you.
Well, I think I have... I'm trying to find... crap, I don't have a...
Dial
so we'll just...
The button labeled Edge Stupid. Just press that one.
Okay. No, I have a better one for you.
What the hell is that? That is completely stupid and pointless.
Yeah, that's about right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Craigie Ferg. I have... Here's the FaceTime music for your soapbox music, or do you not want it?
Up to you. You can play it. You're the host tonight. I am a firm believer that any announcer is there not only to call the action, but to set the tone for the show. And I don't care how scripted it is for Michael Cole to be sitting there waving signs, falling asleep, shitting on the show. Why don't you just get up and leave if you hate it that much, Michael Cole? If you weren't there, a lot more people would watch NXT because I really think that you are just acting like an unprofessional asshole. We don't need that at the announce table. We got plenty of people in the ring that can do that for you. Go home, big man. There's got to be a war somewhere that you can go commentate. Thank you.
Yay. Yay.
I think that deserves a nice this. If I can scroll down.
Yeah. Because, you know, going back to the old school show on Monday for a second, when Jim Ross came out, it was a wrestling announcer, you know, geekasm there. Well, then Michael Cole was just shitting on the whole fucking segment. You know, all right, fine, you're a douchebag. Big deal. But come on. Shut the fuck up. Plain and simple.
It's the epitome. I'm sorry. It's the epitome of what is wrong with Michael Cole. And quite frankly, Vince McMahon could be hearing this and loving this because this is exactly the reaction he wants. Because, you know, he has taken over from Vicky Guerrero as the person who gets the most heat in the company at live shows. At TV tapings, what have you. By far and away, I'm convinced. He's the one who gets the most heat.
I don't buy that at all. Sorry, Jim. I think that's bullshit X-Pac heat, okay?
Okay.
I mean, as a matter of fact, there are signs that say, and I quote, that's not heat, okay?
Okay,
Vicky Guerrero gets the most heat and still will get the most heat out there.
Okay, fair enough.
That is absolutely correct. And the match itself was dang good. It actually was added on with JR. Sadly, what was added on by JR was taken away and then some
by the completely unprofessional tactics of one Michael Cole. I wish he were, you know, thrown off a cliff. Make sure the rock's on the bottom, because I don't want him to live through that shit.
By God almighty, he'd be broken in half.
I hope broken in a million pieces.
Nikki, you were saying?
I went back and watched this match on mute. It was an awesome match.
Indeed.
And when I got to see the match live, and Michael Cole distracted me so much, I couldn't appreciate or enjoy the match. I couldn't even enjoy JR. I could not enjoy this whole segment. And if Vince likes that, then I hope he likes his ratings to start dipping, because Michael Cole is giving me the option to mute or change channels when he gets going like that. It just really, really pisses me off. He'll chase me off faster than Randy Orton ever did. And that's saying something.
Ooh. That is saying something.
Well, absolutely. Randy Orton is actually showing personality now, and my God, charisma?
What's that? Oh, wait, charisma. Isn't that a new fragrance put out by somebody at Boskov's? Oh. Guess not.
Washington.
Oh, yes.
We don't have those around here.
Mm. Well.
That must be an East Coast thing. It's like Steak and Shake.
Yeah, well, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, fine. I'll say Macy's. There, you better? Okay. All right.
Yeah, thank you.
That reminds me, I need to go to Macy's in December and buy some new shirts. Moving on.
Yes.
While
I thought you were a serious guy.
Yeah. They bought out Bombershare over here. It's disappointing.
Okay.
Let's talk a little more about NXT. Apparently there is rumors floating around that they're actually going to be doing a season 4.
Oh.
Yeah.
Really?
That's actually more or less confirmed now.
By whom?
A lot of people.
Greg Sansone of The Score, who's one of the bigwigs over there on TSN.
A.
Or of The Score itself, my mistake.
Yes.
Yeah. A.K.A. the Canadian version of ESPN.
He knows what it's all about, if you will.
Yeah, all about. You know, it's going to be sad because the pickings that you have currently for FCW are kind of slim, seeing how they just released a bunch of guys from developmental.
Mm-hmm.
Six of them. Or five in ref, yeah.
Yeah, five. But who do you pull up? I mean, sure, you got Tyler Black there, but...
This is actually tying in back into the round the horn. Thank you for actually letting me have this talk. More or less, bring back the Genexus, Season 2 rookies. There only is, half of them are in. Damn. I wasn't paying attention. There's, three, four of them right now in the WWE?
Yeah.
Of course,
Cabal,
McGillicuddy, Harris, Cabal.
Oh, four, you're right. Cabal, Riley, Harris, and Joe.
Okay, so they got four of the five good ones. They can still bring in one more just for promo ability. And that being, of course, Showtime.
Mm-hmm.
The other three are between useless and why are you even still here?
I think Cottonwood's got some potential. And, yeah, I'm going to use that dirty word. I think he's got some potential. They just got to teach him how to wrestle a little bit better. He's creepy on the mic, and that'll make for a great character.
And plus, you also have this guy, G-Rilla. And he gives me a new reason to play the sound.
Baby oil!
No!
No. Fuck Brodus Clay. Fuck G-Rilla. He does not deserve to
to be there. He's sloppier than anyone in there. He's got mad talking, and really, in a place where there's too many big men, he just would be barely floating away. Wow, I've got anger in me.
Yeah, I noticed.
I think that will lead me to, Nikki, what's a four-letter word starting with Y that means to pull?
It means what?
To pull.
Yank. Wow, head first. Good shot.
Ah, it feels so damn good to play that again.
Yeah.
Warms your heart
and
soul.
I bet it does.
And speaking of going old school, it is 8 o'clock, so we're going to do a little switch here. Jimmy there?
I am here. I am present and accounted for. Did Carl say he's good to go for tonight?
Yeah, he is good to go. So if
I will see you in the chat.
Hear me, all right. Jim Williams, head into the chat. We will see you later.
And I'll broadcast my picks from there to the multitudes. Thanks, guys.
Yep, take care. And taking Jim Williams' place is the, well, he's one of the few creators of the show, so we'd like to give an old school welcome to the host of the BS Big Show, which can be seen Sundays and Wednesdays here on Blog Talk Radio. Give it up for Carl Big Daddy Chenier.
Woo-hoo!
Yay!
Oh, God, that could be taken so many ways, Ralph. Hello, everybody.
What's up? What's up, Carl? Good to see you.
Hey, how y'all doing?
And let's start off with an old school applause. Nikki, I'll give you 5 points if you tell me what video game system that comes from.
I wasn't even paying attention.
That
all right,
was,
I'll play
believe,
it.
I believe that was a Nintendo 8-bit track and field.
No.
No, that is not right. Nikki, I'll play
no.
it for you.
Oh, wait. Okay.
I think
like,
I know.
That sounds like Punch-Out.
That is
no,
not
wrong.
Punch-Out.
It's a game from the Genesis.
That is not from the
you
Genesis.
Know, that's from a television.
That's right, Jason, a television.
That's from Intellivision baseball?
That's baseball.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
You have our good buddy Christopher Clark to thank for that soundbite.
Yep. Speaking of video games, we'll talk a little about video games. Seems like wrestling's sort of getting a little resurgence as of late. We have your traditional SmackDown versus Raw game 2011, which will be which is out already, and I have it reserved in my GameFly gamer queue.
Oh,
so
cool.
Later on, I'll be doing a write-up about that. There's also a couple of indie wrestling games out there. I've never played, but I heard most of them are garbage. But then you had a sort of a Lucha Libre video game that kind of slipped past our radar. This is a video game called AA Lucha Libre Heroes Del Ring.
Yep.
Ads have been flowing around through it. Do we know who made this game?
I will get the, what's it called? Lucha Libre?
AAA Lucha
Heroes
Libre Heroes Del Ring.
Got it. Heroes Del Ring. It is developed by a company called Immersion Software and Graphics. Distributed by Konami.
Yeah, it's essentially a Konami game.
Yeah.
And
Konami usually
Wii's
puts
been,
quality in their games.
Yeah, well, also the Wii version just went bye-bye as of October 28th. So.
And from what I've heard, it didn't do so hot. And it deserved to do not so hot either. Because from what I've heard, because I've never played it, I heard that it used the same engine as TNA Impact.
Uh-oh.
Oh, wow.
That's a big problem.
Ooh. Oof. You know, since I have an Xbox 360, I might take a feeler on the Xbox 360 version of TNA Impact. But my inner soul is telling me, fuck that shit.
Yeah, don't.
Exactly.
Your inner soul
don't even,
is
don't
right.
Don't go for it.
That,
don't
yeah.
go for it.
No.
That hours you'll want back, and they don't refund time.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. There are plenty of other games, brother.
Yeah, I have Super Street Fighter 4 on my machine right now. Tomorrow I'm getting Left 4 Dead 2. So if Jason and if you have Xbox Live and
I
you
do.
Have...
I do. What's your gamer tag? Sigma fan?
Aversive Poem 982.
Got it. Okay. But the deal is, though, you know, I mean, the big dog is THQ. But I actually think it's not going to be the wrestling games that are going to be more interesting to watch. It's also going to be the MMA games, you know, because EA Sports has an MMA game now called, of course, MMA. And THQ has UFC Undisputed, which is really, really good. So, you know, we're going to see how the big dogs deal with all this stuff. You know? I mean, put it to you this way. The presentation in THQ's, you know, SmackDown vs. Raw, you know, over the last couple of years, it's good. It's really good. It's fantastic. I love it. You know? They really do a good job with it.
Mm-hmm. Let's move on a bit from video games and MMA to... sometimes you want to hear what the wrestlers are thinking, or at least read them.
Mm-hmm.
So, I got a... get back to the chat again. I lost it.
Twitter tracker.
Thanks.
Checking out.
We have a couple. We have a couple of some of your bigger heel names doing interviews for sites. We'll start with Nexus leader Wade Barrett from IGN.
Ah, yes.
This is. I'll just do a couple of things here. As we all know, he is a bare-knuckle fighter. He's done it since he was 20, and started doing it in his early 20s. He was asked the question, do you think that if Big Show did not have the knockout punch finisher, is it something that they would have given you? He goes, well, I don't know so I'll forget, I won't do the impersonation. Well, I don't know so much about that. I think it would be like more of a visual thing, and then what you see someone like the Big Show having him throw the punch looks more impressive than it would be done by someone like himself. Regardless of the impact or regardless of how hard the punch actually is, when the Big Show does the punch, it looks so much better, so I think he's the right guy for the job.
Well, that's, you know, humble, right? And the right word to say, being the guy, you know, who was being the up-and-coming good guy, you know, bad guy, you know, the Sheamus of last year, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
And I can see the logic for the question, though. The fact that they keep bringing up that he was a bare-knuckle fighter to begin with, it would fit into his repertoire. But he's got a valid point. Seeing somebody 7
mm-hmm.
feet tall, almost 500 pounds, beating the crap out of you, you know, one big punch, yeah, that makes sense. There is... large, even by WWE standards, but he's not the monster large. So it's not going to, it wouldn't work as well.
Here, and I'll give you another interesting one. Here's IGN again. Heels, stables, and feuds used to last for years and years. A lot of people thought Nexus would be dead and gone after SummerSlam. And we kind of have to admit here that we did somewhat think of that, didn't we?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And you know what? We were, I will admit, wrong move. I mean, we were wrong. They were right.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
For that, Rob.
Mm-hmm. Are you surprised, since storylines move so much faster in the modern era, that the Nexus gig is still going on? He replies, yes, I think with how fast and how often pay-per-views come around nowadays and how quick storylines turn around and evolve, and you're right, things do move a lot faster now. But that being said, I think it's testament to the writing and the performances that we've managed to keep it fresh and keep ourselves relevant in the fans' minds so that people are still enjoying it, and it's not something that's gotten old quickly. I think that's a testament to how hard people have worked and how well we've been able to pull off the ideas that the creative geniuses have come up with, smirk. I think if it's good TV, then it's going to keep on going and there's no reason to stop it. And hopefully it's going to keep on being on TV for a while longer yet.
No fair putting your own quotes on creative geniuses. That's not how he said it, and you know it.
I know.
We pick on uncreative, but he's right.
Mm-hmm. And we'll get to this. And we'll get to the last two more here. This one is important to you and Jason, Nikki, so.
All right.
How is the indie scene in the UK? Is it anything like the American indie scene? It's a really good question because he used to do the independent in the UK scene. I haven't seen too much of the independent scene in America, so I can't really compare the two, which is true. He was pretty much drafted from the UK and pretty much transplanted in Ohio Valley.
Before, right. Believe it or not, he was a marine biologist. Did you know that?
Wow. No, I did not.
Did you know?
The ESPN interview he just did. He was a marine biologist.
Mm-hmm. That's a good fact, Jace.
Yeah. He goes, but I could talk about the English independent scene. Unfortunately, it's nowhere near the wrestling heyday that British wrestling had in the 70s and perhaps the early 80s. When British wrestling was huge and there were some really big stars that come out of there like Big Daddy and Mick McManus and people like that who are literally household names across the UK. But nowadays, it's very small time and there's not a lot of glamour. A lot of the shows, you're lucky to get 100 people in there, and the quality isn't so good over in the UK these days as well. Don't get me wrong, there's some very good wrestlers out there, but there's also a lot of small-time companies who just let anybody wrestle for them. I think Matthew mentioned that to us a few months ago, Nikki.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, some in some parts of the country, and I hate to say it, even in Ohio, we've got a few leagues that are almost at that, where, you know, which leads to the joke. A show that I did about a month or so ago for Tarek the Legend, when he posted about it, he said, "I want trained in caps." wrestlers with their own gear to message me for this benefit show. As in, you better have your own gear and you better know what the hell you're doing, otherwise I don't want you there. And unfortunately, there are a few leagues out here that have people that don't know what they're doing. I interrupted you, sir.
No, right.
There's still a little bit here, but that's okay. Guys who have no business being in the ring, and fortunately the public will go along and see a company like that who are putting on a really bad product for people and putting some really terrible wrestlers in there. The UK seems to be just covered in a lot of bad wrestling at the moment, with just a few high peaks of good wrestling thrown in. And now we get a really interesting question from IGN, and I bet you nobody knew this.
Okay.
How did you decide on your finishing move, that fireman's carry throwdown, a.k.a. the wasteland? Are you ready for this one?
Sure.
Lay on us.
That was something that was actually taught to me by a wrestler on the independent scene named Colt Cabana.
Oh,
wow.
Okay.
You showed me that a few years ago. That's the OVW thing coming about again.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a move that I'd never seen used before. Apparently it gets used a bit in Mexican wrestling circles, but it wasn't one that I was familiar with. I like it because it was different. It's a move that I could use on the vast majority of people in a lot of different circumstances and a lot of different areas in the ring. I could pull off the move from almost anywhere. So it was a versatile move that I thought looked good. And to his credit, it looks good.
On everybody except Mark Henry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he dropped him on his head. Ooh, that was not pretty.
That was just a bad plan.
But I think Barrett has been foisted as the public relations guy for Survivor Series because he's done a ton of interviews that have been around here. He did an interview with Baltimore Sun, with ESPN, IGN, I believe the UK Sun as well. So he's been the guy that they're
which
foisted.
Is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
They turned to him for media.
Yeah. Jason, can you give me the ESPN interview? I'd like to read it.
Sure. Hold on. Not a problem. I will send a link.
You know what that tells me, though, guys? He's on the verge of being the next big star.
You know what?
Ooh.
That's a good thing.
I think
thing.
He's already there.
Yeah. I mean, even bigger than others, i.e. Cena, i.e. Orton.
Yeah.
That could very well possibly be true, Carl, but it all depends. Do you think he'll be the number one heel? Or is
I'm
he
surprised
the number
he's
one
not there
heel?
Already.
Oh, okay. Because when I think number one heel right now, I kind of think Kane, but I guess when you're the number one heel on SmackDown, you're probably the number two in WWE.
Interesting comparison there, Mr. Sidelman.
Well, it's kind of the way that WWE kind of thinks nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me.
As we heard today on Around the Horn, China did make another porno.
Yep, one with Vivid this time around.
Who did?
Vivid
no,
with
no, no,
China.
No. Who made a porno?
China.
Yeah.
Really? You?
Yep.
Uh huh.
Okay.
There's an old phrase here. Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
Yeah.
Have we heard anything about Hulk Hogan's new show?
It was a show called Finding Hulk Hogan, which was more of a quote-unquote darker side, I believe, of him, I think.
It was all a darker and edgier thing about Hogan in his transition, starting around the time, I think it was with all the stuff that, you know, brought him downhill, the divorce, the drag race with Nick, Brooke's career not going anywhere. I have a coworker who is a casual wrestling fan and a big MMA guy. He watched it, and his response was, I really want that hour back.
Wow.
I didn't get a chance to see it.
I'm gonna give it a pass because it's an hour's worth of Hogan saying boo-hoo-hoo, look at me, and all the stuff that was going bad for me until I got to TNA.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And yet things are still going bad for him in TNA.
I knew TNA's turn, again, was incredibly, complete. Was in the very good Bound for Glory pay-per-view. He comes hobbling down to the ring in crutches. He is such a fucking egotistical prick that he will not let his, you know, when his back was, you know, literally, you know, he's a cripple. He's a cripple. Let it go, you know? Let it go.
You can't let it go. That's the thing. The ego gets so powerful that your body will say no, and the mind will just will it to do a whole bunch of impressive things.
that's going to give out. And the last thing I want to see is somebody dying in the ring. Not from incompetence of the opponent, but from sheer stupidity of the deceased.
Excuse me.
That's kind of dark, but I just wish Hogan cannot let it go. He has to walk out there during somebody's shining moment and brag how much they kick ass just so he can be standing in their spotlight. He's done it twice that I am aware of since he's come to TNA.
Or...
Yeah, he did it with Rob Van Dam.
He did it to Rob, and he did it to AJ and somebody else at a main event. He came out and brags about how they're the future of wrestling while he's standing there, just so he can have a piece of that spotlight.
That was Angle.
AJ and Angle, thank you. Please just go home. You've got a new trophy wife. Go have her give you a back rub or something. Go home, please.
And the odd thing is, she kind of looks like Brooke, if I remember correctly.
Kind of?
Okay, I just threw up a little, but yeah.
Alright, now, since we talked about Hogan, we started on TNA, we might as well talk about this story, and it's kind of sad, considering the affairs of TNA. Eric Young has decided to accept the 50% pay cut that TNA asked him to take and has agreed to a new contract with the company.
Mm-hmm.
Word has gotten out he was going to walk, but his sources indicated to me what other options did he have. Young's contract status prevented him from being used at this week's tapings, but he's back under a deal going forward. That means he'll probably start somewhere after Final Resolution.
Or right before.
No, he wasn't used in any of the tapings afterwards. Or was he? Maybe before Explosion, but that was it.
Oh, okay.
Well, one of the things they did here is that they put something in his contract where he can negotiate his own indie date. So,
which is what he wanted.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, and he can go make all the money that TNA is denying him in his new contract, and then some. Because you've got either the number one or number two company on your resume. That definitely gets you more money real quick. But that's one group that's already closed down up in Michigan. There was a group that he wrestled for here and there in Michigan that I know he didn't mind coming down for. A lot of TNA guys work for Big Dave, who recently shut down for reasons that I'm really not allowed to talk about on the air.
But this is another symbol. I mean, Eric Young taking a 50% pay cut, the women being paid crap wages. Come on. TNA is fucked in ways that we don't even know yet. They just are.
You know, talk about pay cuts. What about Christy Hemme? She's sitting on a $175,000 contract.
That's ridiculous. I didn't like the fact that they dropped $15K to have J-Wall walk in and look like somebody.
Yeah.
And then they're talking about how they're having so much trouble paying people, and they let Jeff Hardy design that custom belt. I'm sure they saved some money on the design aspects of it, but it still had to be made. That's
Jeff
Hardy
designed...
Yeah, can I say this, since I haven't been able to?
Sorry.
Yeah.
That belt design is atrocious. Thank you.
Understatement.
Okay.
It is the only belt that makes the pretty, pretty princess belt look good.
Good, yes. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That's because it's the male version of it.
Yeah.
And is anybody here actually buying Jeff Hardy as the Antichrist of wrestling?
Not a word.
No.
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 No. It's like this. He is, how can I put it? He's the Shawn Michaels of heeldom. He can't do it anymore. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm glad you said current-wise, because if you could go in the past, Shawn Michaels was a damn good heel.
Yes, but I'm talking...
I miss those days.
I'm talking about from 2002 to 2010.
Oh yeah, he could try. He tried as hard as he could with the NWO, and it didn't work.
Right, and then he tried again when he was shooting with Hogan, and that didn't work either, really.
No, because he was the bigger face.
Sorry. The big doofus.
The only good promo
like
he ever
hard to come back
the only shot there was the one in Montreal.
Who's your daddy, Montreal?
That was probably his best heel promo in any years of his career.
See, we have about 15 minutes left in the show before we actually talk about what we really need to talk about for this week's show, and that is we have pick-ems for Survivor Series to talk about.
Yep.
So, Jason, you have an indie date in on Sunday, is that right?
No, I do. I do have an indie date this Sunday. It'll be for the Funkified Wrestling Federation, funkifiedwrestlingfederation.com. It'll be at the Nora Temple in Delaware, right near the Hooters, where I eat afterwards. I believe I'll be working with Mr. Val Venus this weekend. So that will be fun, and I guess this is the plug part of the show. Is that correct, Rob, or not?
Yeah, this is the plug part of the show. We'll try to find something new to talk about.
Well, I actually could, something new. I'm also going to try and find something while I'm at it here. I will tell you something this. Did you know the reason why that actually we're getting Survivor Series in New York next year? We'll talk about the pay-per-view dates. You know?
Oh, yeah, we need to talk about that, so let's do that right now. Let me get to the schedule, which is right here.
One was pretty intriguing.
What?
So there was one that was pretty intriguing to me.
Which is?
The one you mentioned there, Mr. Bach?
The Survivor Series coming to New York next year.
I think that was SummerSlam.
Well, no, SummerSlam was supposed to be in New York.
Oh.
But the reason why was that the renovations at MSG were not going to be done in time.
Ah, okay. Someone didn't update the wiki. Okay.
But we do have an update thing. It will be back at the Staples Center.
Oh, Lord.
Okay, are you ready for this one?
So okay.
Here we go. We're going to start with the Royal Rumble. January 30th, 2011, we'll be at the Garden.
Boston Garden, that is.
Yeah, TD Garden. And then we have the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view, 2/20/2011, Oakland, California, at the Oracle Arena.
Mm-hmm.
Is that where Golden State plays, I think?
Oracle Arena, yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, is where the Warriors play? Okay. Then, as we all know, WrestleMania 27 will be at the Georgia Dome.
I know people who are going.
I imagine that there'll be quite a big WrestleCrap contingent there. I think Gods and Triple Kelly are going to be there.
Okay.
Then we have a 2 pay-per-view month to make up for the one night
in March.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We have 5/1/2011 at the St. Petersburg Times Forum. It's WWE Extreme Rules.
When you think Extreme Rules, you think of Florida.
No.
In the home of FCW.
Yeah. And then you have in my neck of the woods, May 22nd, 2011, Key Arena, Seattle, Washington. We get Over the Limit. And if Raw has taught you anything, tickets will still be on sale and for some really damn good seats.
$2 seat special.
Oh, jeez.
Sorry.
Yeah, don't be sorry, because it's actually true. Because I think I told Nikki about this. I told Nikki and Carl this, that the Raw that was here, they actually hired about 250 or so seat fillers who worked for Key Arena and its various people, like the Seattle Storm, for example.
And they paid them, right?
They got those people to fill the seats.
Wait,
some of them front row.
Ooh.
That's sad. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And then you go WWE Fatal 4-Way. Why? That name might change, hopefully. Washington, D.C. at the Verizon Center. Who knows? Might see a return of Batista.
No, he signed the Strike Force.
Oh, he's actually going to go MMA?
That's from what I'm hearing.
I give him two matches.
Yeah, I give him less. I think he'll end up back in the Fed sooner than later because the Fed will give him better money.
And speaking of money, I might have to go to this one if she'll have me over there.
What's up?
WWE Money in the Bank, Allstate Arena, July 17th, 2011, Chicago, Illinois.
That pay-per-view is probably the closest pay-per-view I get in 2011.
Yeah, that's actually right.
And if I go, I'm going with more than 6 hours' notice. You hear me, Brandon? More than 6 hours' notice. Anyway.
Yes.
Nikki, if you do go there and I'm in that neck of the woods, I think if you come a day earlier, I think you might have a couch to crash on. Don't quote me on that.
I won't. But I'll work my way out there because that's worth a chair.
I think if I do go there, I'll probably get the $25 seat special.
All right.
Me and my friend Jamie will go there and just enjoy the show. And we'll run into you before showtime and get lunch or something around there, around the arena.
There you go. And I'm going to go down on the floor and run into Skinny John and the Clown and probably the Tuckers.
Well, who knows? Maybe we could play ticket roulette and get a cheaper seat.
There you go.
Get a better seat.
There you go.
SummerSlam, Staples Center, per usual. Which is fine. I mean,
how do you expect the movie films to get anything done?
Yeah. Yes, and as we all know, Jerry Buss will not screw around WWE like East Stan Kroenke did a couple of years ago.
Yeah, if he knows what's good for him.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
And we have a Jason Block special here.
Buffalo's a bit of a drive, okay?
Oh.
Buffalo
that's
is like
state.
On the border of Canada. No, the Jason Block special is November 20th. As a matter of fact, a year from Sunday. No, actually, a year from tomorrow.
Yeah, a year from tomorrow.
But anyway, going back to United Champions in Buffalo on September 18th.
We have the Carl's. You can actually make it to that one.
I've been to the HSBC Arena twice.
Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, you're good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're going to go to that one in the Hell in a Cell?
Well, we shall see.
Yes, today is October
2nd.
Although
I am thinking about maybe trying to go to the Slammy Awards version of Raw coming.
I go to the Slammys myself.
That's where it's going to be.
Yep.
But it's a bit of a drive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we have San Antonio, Texas for bragging rights, 10/23/2011. And then we have the Jason Block special, Madison Square Garden, for Survivor Series, 11/20/2011.
Yeah, baby.
And they're going to use the old setup, I'm sure, for that one.
I hope so. Mm-hmm.
The door thing.
Well, yeah.
So, Jason, here's my question for you.
Yes.
You have a really good, you have a good paying job, I would like to assume.
Decently paying job, yes. Not, okay.
Are you going to splurge $250 and get yourself a chair?
Hell no.
Okay.
No way. Okay. I mean, with all due respect to Nikki and her chairs, and you and all your chairs, I actually want to see the matches. Being on the floor is cool. What?
You can from the third and fourth row.
yeah. But yeah, it's insane. It's a little nuts. So.
And trust me, Jason, I have full respect for those chairs.
Ow. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Well, by the way, that chair is not going to be $250. That's a big four in the big city. It's probably going to be a $500 chair. I understand, Jason. Trust me.
And then the last pay-per-view of 2011.
WWE TLC, which, well, I just thought the company, so it makes sense. And Chris will probably be back by then. 12/11/2011 at the Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
That's the Jim Williams special.
Yeah, but I think both of us know Jimbo is not going to that one.
Well, I know. Just saying it's close to Jim.
Yeah. And Jim wants to know, does that mean Miz is still banned from Summerfest?
So you.
I think we better get to any sillier.
Well, we still have time. About 3 minutes worth, so let's get some plugging done. Josh, you have Capture Suplex. God, I'm starting
Capture
to sound
Suplex
like Bruno.
Radio.
Yep.
Yeah, of course I do. Every Saturday, 2 to 5 p.m., only on WRSCRadio.com. We'll be talking more Survivor Series as well as UFC 123 coming up here Saturday. If you want to call in, give us a ring at 419-386-0596. I hope to hear from you on the lines then. And please, someone call in.
And Carl, you already plugged your show, so plug it again.
All right, the BS Fix Show this upcoming Sunday. We'll recap week 11. It's early and late games. We'll have Gamage, of course. And that's about it. BlogTalkRadio.com/BS Fix Show.
Yeah, I will not be on this week's show due to my gig, just to let you know. So.
Okay.
Yes, but you are obligated on the week afterwards to give us a full report.
Yes,
I will.
You will. You will be.
I have a plug.
All right, go, Nikki.
I am abandoning my typical overtime duties of this weekend to escort American Kickboxer 2 to Owosso, Michigan for Victory Independent Pro Wrestling. This is an organization run by a very nice young man that I know from Indianapolis, a gentleman named Joseph Schwartz.
Yeah.
Yay!
Oh, man.
Oh, Jesus.
What the heck was that?
I don't know.
That means it's time.
Can I at least finish my plug?
Yeah.
Thank you. I am escorting American Kickboxer 2 to Owosso, Michigan for Victory Independent Pro Wrestling. I'm going to find my way onto that show, especially if I've got a twist Mr. Joseph Schwartz on. After all, he's such a nice boy. He'll be happy to do that for me. I know he will. I'm going to be on the road way too much tomorrow. You've been warned.
Yes, and may the Schwartz be with you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, another little piece of interesting news. According to Matt Morgan's Twitter, Chris Nowinski got nominated for Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year,
for his research into concussions. Good for him.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, did we predict that one. I knew his impact would be big, but wow. Good for him, Chris. Seriously, I hope you win. I really do. Or at least, you know, or at least get a nice article in the issue. Because if it does, you know, who knew? That's all I'm saying. Who knew?
Mm-hmm.
Good
for
him.
Yeah, who knew indeed. Oh, and Jim also has a plug. He wants us to plug out WrestleChat.net, one of the finest news sites for wrestling and commentaries. That good for you guys?
Yep.
I think so.
I guess I will plug, because I got to plug Game Show Garbage, the second best game show website in the world.
Thank you very much. The first being, of course...
First GameShowNewsNet.com.
Thank you very much.
So, I think everybody knows how Pick'ems work, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's been a while, so let me break down the rules for everybody. All you gotta do is get three squares in a row, either across, up and down, or diagonally. You gotta determine what the stars are giving the correct answer they're making up. That's how you get the squares. We play a best 2 out of 3 match. Each game's worth $200. That means you win 2 games, or you win $400, and you got to pick an envelope from the stars, which can be a great prize, up to $5,000 in cash. Nikki, you're in our old position. You're a challenger. Please pick a square.
You fool!
Gilbert Gottfried, obviously.
All right, Gilbert, pleasure to have you on the show.
Why, thank you, Rob!
Wait, that didn't sound right at all.
Since when did Gilbert Gottfried go English, go British?
What?
I can't do it. Let's just get to the pick-ems before it gets too late.
Darn.
All right, here we go. We have 7 matches announced, according to Wikipedia.
Yep, 7 matches.
I go... second match, we'll go 10 points on this one. If that's fine by you, Ms. Heyman?
That'll work.
Okay.
Yes, that works perfectly.
All right, first one. And, Jim, I know you're in the chat, so, he's got pen and paper ready, and Jim thought Australian.
Yeah, I was actually aiming for more Aussie British. Go figure.
That's what I get for watching too much Australian Wheel of Fortune. Dolph Ziggler versus Cabal for the Intercontinental title. Kind of interesting how Cabal decided to cash in on a B-belt, but hey, who's going to blame him? Josh, we'll start with you.
2 words for Cabal. Too soon. Ziggler's going to crush.
Jason.
Upset pick. Cabal wins the belt.
Nikki.
I'm taking Cabal. Ziggles has had it for a while.
And Carl.
It's time for Cabal to go off to the races. He wins the belt.
And Jim goes, here's Cabal. And DJ's
and DJ
in here
does
too.
As well.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And DJ goes Cabal as well. I am abstaining because I'm just here one time only.
Okay. A shame. Whatever. You're making
besides,
me delete shit.
If I were to vote and actually win this whole thing, it would be probably a big rehash of what happened last time. Because it was the last pick, and I won the whole thing with Nikki.
Yeah. All right.
Actually,
to our
no.
next match,
I think
please.
I think I won it outright. This is your traditional Survivor Series Elimination Tag Team match. We have Team Mysterio, Rey Mysterio, Kofi Kingston, Chris Masters, Big Show, and Montel Vontaze's Porter, a.k.a. MVP. Take on Team Del Rio, which is Alberto Del Rio, Tyra Rex, Drew McIntyre, Jack Swagger, and dashing Cody Rhodes. This is your 2-point special, ladies and gentlemen.
which team wins and how many members are left standing? I think that's a fair assumption for a Survivor Series match. How many are left standing? We start, of course, with Carl.
Okay, so you're looking for who wins and who's going to be left standing on the winning team?
Just a number.
What team wins, and give me the number.
Okay. Team Mysterio wins, and I'll say two.
Mysterio and two. Nikki.
That's how SmackDown ended. And they've been playing with the momentum rule. I'll give it to Team Mysterio, but only one.
Only one. Jason.
Del Rio and two.
Del Rio and two. Josh.
I am going to go with Team Mysterio. Two members left at the end.
Jim says Team Mysterio one. And DJ goes Team Del Rio with two.
Okay. I'm ready for the next one.
Okay. We have John Morrison versus Sheamus. We start with Josh.
I'm probably going to get a little flack for, well, maybe not flack, but I'm probably going to go against the grain. Sheamus wins.
Jason.
I'm with you 100% on this one. The Bully's going to win the first round. Sheamus wins.
Nikki.
That's true. This is the start of the feud. These two have had awesome chemistry. I really, 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 really would like to see Morrison win this one. But he calls the Bully out, so the Bully gets the stomp first. Sheamus wins.
So the power of the ads don't compel you, do they, Nikki?
No, but they're still an awesome view. What is it? You can say parkour, or I'm going to say spada. What was that?
I just lost my hearing.
Don't you remember? Jesus.
Josh?
No mention of Butter and Morrison in the same sentence. That's,
Sorry, Josh, but that
we have an agreement.
So you're going to come murder me in my sleep. Or you can come up to Michigan and try to catch me there.
Oh,
that's
I have a better idea. I have a better idea.
Mm-hmm.
If Nikki will agree to this. Because you broke the agreement, Nikki. Next week, Josh host the show.
Whoa.
Whoa, Nelly, hold your white horse, Rob. I won't
pour some baby oil.
I won't do that to her.
Thank you, Josh.
Plus, I already have another show that I pretty much halfway host, so yeah.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Carl, go ahead.
Including the two people in the chat, you got a sweep here.
Bring out your rooms. Everyone go Sheamus.
Mm-hmm.
We have another two. We have the... No, we're only going to do 1 point for this one.
Okay, so points
next,
down to nine.
Next... No. There's still 10 points.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. We have Nexus versus Santino Marella and Vladimir Kozlov. Justin Gabriel, Heath Slater as next tag champs. Which team wins, Carl?
Just for the hell of it, I'll say Nexus.
Nikki.
I think the Nexus needs to keep the belts for now, as much as I love Santino and Kozlov. It'll be close though, but Nexus retains.
Jason.
Oh yeah, Nexus retains because of what I think is going to happen in the
main event,
yeah.
And Josh.
I am also going to say Nexus is going to win because I'm sorry, but Santino, no matter how much series they try to put into him, is too goofy to win.
And we have a sweep. DJ and
yep.
Jim say Nexus.
Here's the 2-point match for you. It's Lay Cool versus Natalya. And here's 2 points on this one. Who wins? And here's point two. If you're going for Natalya, who does she pin? And if you're going for Lay Cool, who pins Natalya?
Got it. I
understand.
Okay. Josh, go ahead.
They keep doing this chasing. For once, I actually think Natalia's gonna do it. She's finally gonna end the God Reign, at least for a little bit. So Natalya wins the Divas title, and she pins Layla to do it.
Jason.
Josh is exactly right. Natalya pins Layla.
Nikki.
Natalya makes Layla submit.
Ooh!
So Layla still gets the fall.
So, yeah.
And Carl.
Natalya wins, but I'm going to go the other way on who she pins. I'm picking McCool.
Okay. DJ says Natalya and pins Layla. Jim says Natalya wins, she pins McCool, and as a bonus, Lay Cool split. Okay, Jim, sit around the forums as a bonus Lay Cool split. I won't give you any points for that, but that's good. Kane versus Edge for the title. Carl, go ahead.
This has been building for a good couple of weeks, I do believe. I'm going to say Kane retains because they'll keep building him as you call, the second top heel in the company.
Well, according to WWE logic, he is the second top heel in the company.
Yeah, that works. I'm picking Kane to retain, though.
Yeah, okay. Nikki.
Kane retains for now. This is a new feud. I think Edge is going to
chasing
Kane for a little bit.
Jason.
Edge is better as the chase than as the guy with the belt. Kane retains. It's going to be fun, though.
Josh.
Break out your brooms. Kane wins again. And, yeah, it's going to wind up being Kane Taker somewhere down the road. Again.
WrestleMania, probably.
Eventually.
And now it's time for the... I'm not going to do it here. If you want to see me do the last one...
The main event of the evening!
Thank you, Josh. Here's 2 points. We have Randy Orton versus Wade Barrett, John Cena as special guest referee.
It says here, if Barrett wins the championship, Cena will be free from the Nexus, otherwise Cena is fired from WWE. Okay. Now, we could probably we'll throw that out the window for now. Now, here's two parts. One, who wins the belt? Two, we're not going to care about the free or fired thing. Does Miz cash in? Because as of now, he is not booked on the card. Does Miz cash? Josh.
I have, finally, Wade Barrett winning the title, but John Cena is able to save face because he'll be either knocked out or he won't have paid enough attention. So he's going to be pretty much crucified as a false pariah, and Miz will not cash in. Remember, all the previous ones, minus one, were pretty much blindside, Money in the Bank, game over, they win. Miz keeps saying, I'm going to do it. He won't do it.
Jason.
I cannot disagree with you more, Josh.
All right.
Here's the deal. He is going to make Wade Barrett win the title. He's going to do it. He's going to be free of Nexus. And once he's free, he's going to kick Wade Barrett's ass. Mike the Miz Mizanin will be your new heavyweight champion once the night's over. Plain and simple.
Ah, so we agree there.
No.
You said he's not going to cash in.
You said Miz is going to?
Yep.
I'm going to split it down the middle. Something's going to happen where Cena accidentally helps Barrett. You can put that in quotes. Barrett wins. Cena starts tearing into Barrett. The Nexus charge the ring to get Cena and Orton out of there. Miz cashes in and will be the first one to lose.
Ooh.
Lose. Carl.
Oh, boy. I'm going to say Barrett's going to win the title. But I'm going to disagree with every one of you. I'm going to say he wins it cleanly. But Miz will not cash in.
Okay. We have Jim saying Orton wins, Miz does not cash in. And we have DJ saying Barrett wins, Miz attempts a cash in, but doesn't.
I'm not sure if that's a yes or a no. That's kind of cloudy.
In other words, he means he'll tease one.
Give him a half
point. So, again, does not. That's what I'm reading then.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we only have one person saying Orton's going to win.
Yeah, and that's Jim.
Jim's on Vic Island.
Yeah.
But you know what happens when Jim goes out on a limb?
He might win.
Then he's right.
I mean, what does Cena go from here? I mean, how do you get him fired, per se, and then come back, you know?
That's what I don't think the Fed's willing to risk taking Cena off the air for a month.
Mm-mm.
I don't think they can afford that. That's a screwy enough ending that Cena gets out of the Nexus and somehow gets out of being fired.
I think they're gonna have to end this some way. The fans will be pissed if they do some sort of screwy bullshit ending. No way.
True.
And kind of aside, okay, we have confirmation from DJ says he teases one and does it. Okay, that's line there. So that's it for Pick'ems.
Yeah. A little bit of time left, too.
Yeah, we have
some
left to spare.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll go around the horn, so to speak, and say, who do you if they're going to continue the fire sale like they did today, who do you think is next, Josh?
If I were Trent Beretta, I'd be hiding in that shack that once Funaki was in for years.
Jason.
Wow. If I were Yoshitatsu, I'd watch my back.
Wasn't he just on Superstars this week?
Does that
and Raw.
Him? And on Raw with the Tony Atlas bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but even
Key.
So.
Yeah.
Me?
Yeah.
Okay. No, the guy who needs to really watch his back is Curt Hawkins. He lost his back up when the Archer got kicked out.
Mm-hmm. And Carl.
All three of the guys you all just mentioned, plus a good bit of the talent in FCW.
think a bit more talent's going to go?
Too. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to end it for NAWC Old School. Nikki, I'd like to thank you for having me back as host for this special occurrence.
No, this was cool. I'm glad you were able to come in.
That's cool.
Yeah. And I hope you all enjoyed it. So for Jason, Josh, Jim, Carl, and Nikki, I am Robert Thompson saying goodnight. Goodnight.
Goodnight.
Goodnight.
Goodnight.
Later. Goodnight.
Goodnight.
Goodnight.